We know Taco Bell's food is great. They've even got a whole new cantina menu with fresh new ingredients. Taco Bell is not just for late night anymore. With fresh new ingredients like slow roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. Taco Bell is a great destination for your midday fuel. They have amazing menu items like cantina chicken tacos, burritos, and quesadilla. I truly do love Taco Bell. I love a Crunchwrap Supreme. It is one of my favorite things to eat. Ooh, don't wait till it's late. Try the new cantina chicken menu now. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Carden, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in-store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander-owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store. Hey, hi, 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 listeners. Okay, welcome back to another episode. Now, before we dive into today's juicy conversation, I got a little disclaimer for you. Okay, so we recorded this episode with Uzo the day before the SAG-AFTRA Screen Actors Guild Union went on strike. So if you're listening being like, oh, Nicole's breaking the rules, is she crossing the picket line? Is she a nasty little scab? Well, the answer is no. I love my union. I am also in the union. I have, you know, tried to abide by the rules and not talk about people's projects on the podcast. So when you hear Uzo promoting her projects, I don't want you all commenting about her being a scab or me being a scab because she was still under a contract pre-strike to promote her work. And if you want to learn more about the SAG-AFTRA strike or support the cause, you could check out the links in the episode notes. Now, without further ado, let's hear that tasty little theme song. To another episode of Why Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, was trying to figure out why I'm single, but guess what? I've done it for almost 6 years and there's been no answers. So I'm just exploring love and relationships and anything I actually really want. Okay, my guest today, I am so excited, is a multi-Emmy award-winning actress who you know from Orange is the New Black, Mrs. America, and you can see her in Painkiller, the tellings of the origin and aftermath of the opioid crisis in America, now streaming on Netflix. I am so fucking excited. It's Uzo Aduba. Boop, 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 boop. Uzo, thank you so much. Like, I'm a very big fan.
Oh, thank you. I love that rebel yell of yours just now. It like simultaneously was thrilling and sounded like a crowd of people. Like, I knew you were trying. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I try to, I don't know, keep the energy up. I'm a happy person. Truly, I'm so excited. I think you're so funny and truthful in your acting. And I don't know, like, you're just a joy to watch. And you have so much charisma and it emulates through the screen. Honestly, you should be so happy you're you.
That's comedy.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So you are currently married.
Mm-hmm.
How did you meet your partner?
I met him at a young Black professionals mixer in New York. Yes. That we both went to, except not knowing each other.
Mm-hmm.
That one of my best friends, Lisa, Nicole, shout out Lisa. What up, Lisa? Encouraged me to go to, and she and I, with another best friend of ours, our friend Angela Wildflower Polk, we went, and yeah, we just started talking, and it was amazing. And I know this is like, you know, your show talks about like the dating and the singleness of the world and, you know, mm-hmm. like all of this world and life. And I had certainly been in like that corner for a good amount of time as well. I'll say that, you know, what was different in that experience from any experience I had ever had ever is it was easy to talk to him.
Mm.
Like I, for the first time, completely felt like I was being myself. I wasn't hiding any part of myself. I wasn't trying to be what I thought he was looking for. Like, I wasn't more concerned about his thoughts than my own. Like, it was easy. And we were there talking for 2 hours, and it was like late. It was like 10:30 when we started talking. And mm-hmm. what I thought was like 45 minutes was 2 hours. And another piece about it that was like so different. I had just been like praying right before that, a few months before that, because I was going into my hot girl summer. I remember I was like, I'm just living my life.
I'm a do me.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to like enjoy. And I'd never been in that place before. But I had said, I was like, what I want more than anything is like, I want it to feel clear. Like, I don't want to mm-hmm. guess, because I feel like I was always in these like weird guessing games, you know, like, and then like, it was just like clear. His intention was clear. It was like, I want to see you again, period.
Ugh, I love that. I was just in Denver and I went to a sandwich place. It was very delicious. And the cashier was so hot and I thought we were flirting. So I invited him to my show and then he brought a woman and I was like, okay, I guess the intentions were not clear. I guess I read into a friendly face trying to take money for a sandwich and, and blew it up into something it was not.
Yeah. But,
I am yearning for that, like, easiness, that clearness, the like the point where you're like, oh, I absolutely know that this person likes me and wants to take me out again. Do you remember your first date, like where you went besides the mixer?
Yeah, he took me to this Ethiopian restaurant in the West Village. It's not there anymore. I don't remember the name. I don't remember the name, but I remember it was in the West Village in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. And I remember, even though it was summer, like, it was warm. And I remember I was so late because you guys want to hear the story? I was so late because it was the 3rd of July.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gone with my older sister and her kids, my niece and nephews, to the beach. And I was like, okay, we have to get back because I have a date later. And mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to go with you, but I'm not like swimming in the ocean. I'm just going to go up to my knees and I'm going to get mm-hmm. I'm going to do my hair before I go and be ready. I had this weave in. I was like, I'm going to do my hair before I go, get my hair done before I go. And then I'll just like go up to my knees and like sit on the beach and be cool, whatever. And then the time came for me to go in the water with my niece and nephews. We're like frolicking in the surf and like having a good time. And then one of them went under, got like taken by a wave.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so I had to like go and grab them. And the next mm-hmm. wave came.
Oh, no.
And washed over me, totally assassinated my hair. And like, I went home and now I had to like blow dry and do and all this time mm-hmm. that I did not a lot for like getting home and like going on the date and had to like blow dry my hair. And if you know anything about weaves, y'all, like, you know that the wefts and the braids were not drying. They were not dry.
Absolutely not drying for like 3 hours.
Yes. So every time I would straighten it, the cornrows would get it wet again. And then it would like start puffing back.
Sizzle
it was a
and puff.
A disaster.
Oof.
Thank you. All of it. Oof. All of it. Oof. And so I kept texting him, and this was an attribute of his that I love. I kept texting him. I was like, I'm so sorry. I told him in advance, I'm going to be late. He's like, okay, just get here safely. And he was just so patient.
Mm-hmm.
He was like incredibly patient.
I love that. I also really love that, like, you saved a child. You're trying to dry your hair. You're trying to go on a date. You're like, I got to get all this done. I'm a superhero, but also looking for love. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It was a nightmare. Oh,
that is a nightmare because it's like the tracks are wet. And then if you're trying to, like, flat iron it or whatever. Did you have a leave out or was it a front? Oh, my
yes,
God. So
girl.
Then it's like the leave out touches the wet. It pops back up. Yeah. Oh, my God. Then it's like, let me put it up. But then it's like, if you don't have leave out all the way around, then that's not going to work.
Thank
oh,
you.
Lord.
And we're talking like an hour that I have. And it's like, this isn't, I have to take a shower. No. I need to put my makeup on. I need to get downtown. And now I have to deal with this weave. I was like, this is a joke.
But I do love that he was patient. Do you remember who said I love you first?
I did.
How did you know? When did you know?
I knew so early. I mean, it's like almost, I mean, now it doesn't matter because we're married, but like, it was embarrassing. You know, like,
you're like, I already got him. I can't scare him away now.
Yeah, exactly. It was embarrassing at the time because I was like, should I feel like this already? Mm-hmm. Like, should I feel this way right now? And we were definitely, I mean, maybe like a month, 2 months in when I felt it, but I didn't say it because I was like, you're going to be, that's a crazy person. Like, you can't bring that to the table just yet. but I did. I said it. It was like December. So what is that? July, August, September, October, November, December, 6 months we've been together. And I just remember we had gone to see that Aretha Franklin documentary, like Amazing Grace, I think it's called. And after it finished, I just said it. And like, we had gone to see it. I don't know where it was playing. We're like, oh, let's go see it. I never saw that. Let's go see it. And we were walking back. And I just, and that morning I had been thinking about, I had been playing this Lauryn Hill song that just made me like want to like say it so badly. Tell him, you know that song? Tell him.
Yes.
It'll be all right.
Lauren's really like, just tell him it'll be all right. And you're like, okay, it'll be all right. Thank you, Lauryn Hill.
Yeah. So that was the day. That was the day.
And did he say it back or did he say thank you? Because that's a big fear of mine. Telling someone I love them and they're like, okay, that thank you so much.
Noted.
Yeah, duly noted. I'll write that one down. You're like, oh God.
Yeah. No, he said it back. He said it back. But I also had like, you know, he had already, I called him like big shares. We'd had like big shares before that like I'm not gonna get into, you know, like here. Like we'd had big shares that like he put himself in spaces of opening his heart and vulnerability. And like I had, that made me feel safe enough to say it, you know what I mean? To him as well. So that was what gave me, I don't think I would have said it if I didn't feel that like safety.
That openness and like vulnerability. I like that. I feel like every relationship should be like that. Before you actually say I love you, it's like, have we been vulnerable enough with each other? Or do I feel safe with you? I think that's a huge thing that I never think about until later, like in hindsight, where I'm like, I didn't feel safe with that person. That person was wild. I thought I could conjure love through this, but like the intimacy wasn't actually there. That's something I go through a lot.
Well, and this is what me and my girlfriends have had a conversation similar to that when we would talk about dating. Like when my husband and I were dating, like I said, you know, I made this like weird discovery for myself. I was like, there is something, I don't know why, whether it's like energy we can feel between each other when we're on dates. Like, I don't know, but it's like, there's something that clicks different when you feel safe. that makes you like speak and be your true, or at least that's how I felt, like feel and be your like my true authentic self all the way. Because I was like, I hadn't realized, I was like, every date I had ever been on before that had been, had started on a lie. Like, it's like a guy would ask me, he'd be like, what are you looking for? And I'd be like, oh, you know, just like nothing serious. Just want to like hang out and like have a good time. And like, you know, just like meet new people. Like, I don't want to do anything like too intense. You know what I mean? Like all a lie. Like, it's like, that was like totally not true at all. Like when I'm being, when I was being honest with myself later, I was like, that was not what I was looking for. Like at all. I was looking for love, and I was too afraid to say that because I didn't know what that, how that would be received, you know? And it's like, not to like let guys off the hook or let anyone off the hook, but it like kind of just made it like, I gave, then I would be surprised later. Like, I got exactly what I asked for.
Yes, exactly. I feel the same way. I matched with this guy on an app and he seemed very sweet. I didn't read that he was polyamorous, and no shade to anyone who's polyamorous, but like at this point in my life, I was like, I would like to be the singular favorite person of my person. And maybe down the line I could do it where I'm not jealous or whatever. But I was like, right now I just need to be someone's favorite person. And they have their life, their goals, their dreams, but I am their person and they're only concentrating on me. And I was going to go out with him, but then I was like, wait, what am I doing? That's not what I want. So then I just told him, I was like, I would like to be someone's favorite person. And I'm not sure you'd be able to do that while dating other people. And he was like, thank you for that honesty. And I was like, oh, that didn't hurt me. That
yeah. Well, and it makes me wonder. Yeah, it does. It doesn't like, and when you, when that happens, like, doesn't it make you wonder, like, or it made me wonder anyway. I was like, huh, I wonder how much heartbreak I could have avoided in the past. And B, like, if I had been honest with myself out loud about what I wanted, like, would that have freed him, you know, them up to be like, oh, well, that's what I'm looking for, too. But now we're like all in this weird like game. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. Because I didn't know that man. So I was like, oh, I avoided something that could have been bad just by being honest.
By being honest. And I like, I feel like I took some of my own power away in the past by not being honest. Because then I would be forced to like confront my, like a choice. Like, it's like, if I said like, I'm looking for love, and if he's like, oh, I'm not, then I would have to like actually decide whether I wanted to continue going out with him or not. And it was just different. Like when we went on that first date, he did ask me what I was looking for and I answered honestly. And it's like, I don't know why I did. I don't know, but I did, you know?
Because I guess it was, you felt comfortable and there was an ease and there was clarity. I think that's why maybe you felt like you could say that.
Maybe. Those are not wrong. I think that's like, you're on, spot on with that. Like, I just felt like I could.
And it's funny because with my career, I'm very honest. I'm like, this is what I want. This is what I don't want. And then I get like an offer or an audition for something that I'm like, ah, that doesn't really align with what I would like to do. And I'm very confident to say I don't want to do that. But with like, I feel like with relationships, I'm very much stuck in the beginning of my career where I was like, I'll take anything, anything that will propel me forward and get me to what I need to do.
Yeah,
but I feel like I need to be more judicious. Is that a word I can use?
Yeah.
Look at me, SAT words. But like, just try to be more selective with people because I don't need to settle in a relationship. Oh, boy. Who's a
girl? No, you're too cute and too funny and too smart. No.
Thank you.
No.
Who proposed to who? Did he propose to you or did you propose to him?
He proposed to me.
Where? How? Tell me.
Well, ours was, oh, gosh. It was at home because we were in pandemic.
Oh, okay.
We were supposed to go to Tulum on a vacation the week the world shut down.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I found out later that was when it was supposed to happen. And he was like,
obviously we could not go anywhere. So, so he's like, you know, I was thinking in my head, he's like, okay, this is me being him now, like talking. He was like, so I'm going to pivot. You know, I was like, it's fine. No big deal. He's like, I'm going to have all of our friends and family come over to the house and I have a party and we're going to go out like for lunch, like a brunch, and then come back and it's going to be a surprise. And then I'm going to do it there. And then like the state of New York put like,
they're like, stay inside. No brunches, nothing.
No gatherings. It's like no gatherings. So it was like no gathering of like more than 10 people or whatever it was. And he was like, okay, that's out. He's like, okay, no problem. He's like, bet we're going to, I'm going to take her to her favorite restaurant. He's like, I'm going to do it there. It's going to be great. And then like no restaurant, like all restaurants are closed.
Everything like, is closed. It's like, no, you can't come here. No, can't come here. And you're like, oh, can't. Fuck.
Yeah. So he's like Forrest Gump, like nowhere to sit on the bus. Like just like so crazy. And so like then he just was like, okay, and I guess it's at home then. And in the house, and it was so sweet. He was just like did a really beautiful job putting it together, and I was completely caught off guard, even though he managed, because we were just having a date night in the house, you know, because everybody was cooped up. Or I thought it was a date night. Well, I guess it was a date night, but that just ended in an engagement, you know. And he did a really, really, really beautiful job and turned our hell house around. And it was special and wonderful and just
a testament to the guy he is.
I like listening to you talk about him because you kind of light up in a way that makes me know that he's so special and important to you. And I love that so much. I love asking people about their partners. And when they just get this like smile on their face, it's so contagious. And it just makes me feel hopeful that somebody's out there for me.
They are.
Thank you. Real quick, we have to take a break. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about. And thank God I have a podcast. But then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist. And listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me.
How did you arrive at acting?
In school, you know, like I was studying classical voice, opera. And because I was doing voice performance, we had to take acting and movement and, you know, classes like this. And I had been taking a Shakespeare class and, you know, in the morning, I'd be rolling around on the floor and doing all these, you know, weird, wacky exercises. And then in the afternoon, I would be for my, you know, voice performance degree, I'd be doing, you know, like musical theater and actually not musical theater, I'd be doing like musical history with like, you know, like Mozart and like Beethoven and all this other stuff. And I was like, I think I like the rolling around on the floor part. I was like, I think I'm more into that part, you know, like the more of the to be or not to be and less of the like magic flute of it all. And I just was like, I think when I get out of here, I think I'm going to be an actor. And that was exactly right. Like snap forward 4 years later. And that is exactly what I went on to pursue when I moved to New York after college. It was just like, it felt like the right fit. It felt like my people. It felt energy-wise what I was just into. And yeah.
I love that. I love that it only took you like 4 years to like, you know, start a career. Sometimes it takes people so much longer, but I think that's a testament to the talent. You were in Godspell, and I just want to say, so was I. In
no
high school.
Way! What did you sing? What were you doing? What did you do? Tell me.
Oh, she tried to sing. I don't know if it was successful.
It was.
I did Turn Back, Oh Man.
Oh, and excuse me.
To
excuse
overcompensate
me.
For not being able to sing, I just sat in the lap of, I don't know, one of the students' dads and sang to him, which in hindsight, not appropriate.
It's an interesting choice.
What song did you sing?
I sang By My Side.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I loved singing that, but Turn Back, Oh Man, it's fun.
Very, very saucy. I had a feather boa that I would put on people.
Yes, yes. That maybe perhaps needs to be the theme song for Why Won't You Date? Like, could you imagine if you're like signing in, like it's like, hi, I'm Nicole Byer. Turn back, oh
man, forswear thy foolish ways.
It's what? Yeah. You sang it well. Come on, Nicole. I heard that.
Well,
I heard that
thank
voice.
Thank you. I've been taking singing lessons because people constantly ask me if I can sing and I can't. And I'm trying to change that narrative in my life.
I love. That's cool. Did you just start or is that like, I don't know about you. I mean, I love to sing so much and I sing all the time, like in the shower. I sing when I walk my dog Fenway and I'm like one of those like not afraid AirPods in like on the street, fully like full out, just like obnoxious, like not
that.
Like full out, like giving you a
not
concert,
like belting, but
like,
just no, really
exactly.
Feeling
just like
yourself
unapologetic about it. Yeah. So like notes that are too high, I don't care. I'm reaching for them. Hand me a ladder. I'm going to get up there. You know, like that's what I'm into. But I find it so freeing. I don't know if you're finding that in voice lessons, but it's like, I love it.
I am finding it freeing. Here's what I discovered. Singing is kind of intimate because there's like, you're like, you're good or you're bad. And to me, that's intimate because being funny, it's like, oh, you don't like that comedy. That's fine. But it might be funny to somebody else. But singing is pretty universal. It's like, you're bad.
But then there's like a circle of good. Like you could be like bad, but then have such an interesting, bizarrely like
you know what I mean? Like, you could be like so bad, you come back around to good.
Where like, she's like, boy, that was interesting.
Yeah, she has such an interesting sound. Like, it's like.
Uzo, I want to ask you about this. So right before booking Orange is the New Black, you almost retired from acting to go to law school?
Yeah, well, what a generous word, retire. thank you for your generosity and kind of. Yes, I almost chose to no longer act. Yeah, I did, because I was, you know, going after this thing. And, you know, anybody who's ever pursued it or pursued anything that they wanted, that's hard, you know, to be honest with you. It's hard to take those no's when it comes to your passion, what you feel like is your thing that you're supposed to be doing. And I felt so lost, honestly. Like, mm-hmm. I just felt so lost and thought this is where I was supposed to be in life, but it felt like all the signs and markers were pointing to no. And I'll say this also, another key piece was that it was the first time that I had been willing to dare out loud for my dreams. You know, I had been in theater and I wanted to do theater terribly my whole life. And I loved the theater. I was so proud and happy to be a theater kid. But I also knew there was another corner of my heart that wanted to do film and be on screen. But, you know, the world was so different when I started on Orange. You know, the landscape that we see now today, you know, where we it was just not what it was. And I didn't see really space at the table for me. So I never even dared to like say that out loud, you know, that I even wanted to do something in that arena. Like, who was I? Who do I think I am? And so when I started to pursue it aggressively and just kept getting shot down so hard, with like no's left and right, I started feeling like the reason why you were afraid was correct. Like, there isn't space for you in this thing. You know, like, you're not supposed to be here. You're not what the people want. You're not what this community wants. You were right in being afraid and feeling other and like there was no space for you. So this isn't supposed to be. It's not meant to be for you. And you should go and figure out how not to waste your life and go do something else that could be satisfying and that you have, you know, a talent for and you've been trying to like push away. And so, you know, I can talk a lot. And my parents knew that from the moment I opened my mouth. They had always thought I would be a lawyer because I was so chatty. And I said, you know, maybe that's what you're supposed to do. And you're being silly out here in these streets trying to think you have any business being on camera. And so, yeah, I was going to go and become a lawyer. And that day, very quickly, my whole life changed. And I got the phone call this was in September, for an audition that I'd had that August for Orange is the New Black, that they would like to. There was actually a place of people who wanted to invite me to be part of their story and their world. My life has never been the same.
I really do love that story. I also love that Crazy Eyes initially was only supposed to be in two episodes. And then you were so undeniably good that they were like, no, we need more of this. That's exciting to experience as an actor. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's incredible.
It was so crazy. Yeah, like, I remember, like, you know, being on that call and you know, talking with my representation, and they were saying, you know, it's three episodes, maybe possibly a fourth. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget that line. It's like, possibly a fourth. And I remember being like, you know, I hadn't literally, Nicole, when I say literally, y'all, I mean literally, had never booked anything on television before, mm-hmm. or anything. So, you know, they were like, it's three episodes, possibly four. And I was like, that felt like the mountaintop, mm-hmm. like I had got, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, that
like winning
was
like, the lottery.
Oh, yeah. Yes, girl. I was like, oh my gosh, three episodes? Me? Moi? You're kidding. And they weren't. And so when I did those three episodes, I was over the moon. Oh my gosh. You could not bring me down from cloud nine. I was so excited. I was just like, this is amazing. And I remember one of our producers was walking me back to my dressing room after I finished the third episode. And she says to me, she was like, you know, great job. We're going to use you more. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to get to do that fourth episode. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I thought. Yeah. That's what I thought she meant. Like, yes. I was like, oh, I'm going to get to do the fourth one. Like, and then I'll be done. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, and that'll be it. You know, and I was like, great. This is amazing. This is like the best thing ever. Little did I had no idea that they meant anything else beyond
that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, seasons and seasons. That's so wonderful. Were you dating during that time or were you married?
I definitely wasn't married.
Mm-hmm.
Dating. Yes.
did relationship?
Yeah, maybe, but no. Loosely, like, I'm not, uh-huh. Like, I don't. No one memorable. Like, sorry. But, like,
after the show came out, did dating change for you? Since, like, you were being recognized, were there people slipping in the DMs going, hey, Uzo, come on.
I got some DMs for sure. But it also did change in that it was like, it's weird. I mean, dating itself is weird. Let's be honest. You know what I mean? It's like dating is like so bizarre. And I was never like, get in there. Like, you know, ever anyway. I have like a slow, soft approach. When the show hit, I think what did change was that it was like weird. Well, I'll tell you this story. It was weird to like already be known by someone. Mm-hmm. So when I first started the show, right before I had joined, how was it? Oh God, I'm forgetting now. Maybe it was like Bumble. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Like I had joined some dating.
Something.
You know?
Yes.
I had joined some dating app right before. And I just remember like and I had been on it, you know, and like had like, you know, casual, medium activity, whatever. And then the show came out and I had stopped paying attention to it for a minute. And then the show came out. And then for some reason, I don't remember why, but I went on the app. And it was like, there were like three people that hit me up on it. And it was like, they were like, you're the girl from Orange is the New Black. And the guys were like, you know, I'd love to take you out for dinner. Like this guy was like, oh yeah, I just started watching the show. You know, you're so great. And I was like, I think I should probably get off this. Like, I probably should be out here with like, you know, things to know about me. Like mm-hmm. things I think about, you know what I mean? Like whatever. So that just was like, I think it changed in that way where it's like mm-hmm. sort of like the natural discovery you would have on a date, you know, of each of you like asking questions, like he's asking you like whatever, and I'm asking him, and like to suddenly like you have all this information about my life mm-hmm. and I have none about you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It feels very uneven. I've had that experience where I've like dated people and then we stopped dating, and then I'm like, well, I have no more access to you besides like what you post on like Instagram or whatever, but you have all this access. If you ever want to check up on me, you can find me truly anywhere.
Yeah.
Like I'll be on a billboard sometimes. I'll be on your favorite podcast sometimes. And I always wonder what it's like for them. I guess fine, because no one has reached out to be like, I miss you.
Correct. I wondered that as well. Like, I thought that as well. Like, I'm just like, well, I've also changed my number, so probably unlikely, yes. But like, I have wondered that like before as well, where I'm like, wow, you know, because normally it should be like you break up and like both of you disappear from each other's world. And like, I wondered that to like exes before. I'm like, I wonder what he's doing. And to your point, like, it's like, I can like, think back, I can like go on Insta. Mm-hmm. I don't follow anybody, but I could like go on Instagram and see what they're doing. And it's like that version of them is all I have access to. And it's like for all I know, like somebody could be listening to like every to this. You yes. know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Like, isn't that wild
could be,
to
like,
think
tuning
about?
Tuning in and like yeah. hearing me say these things, which is to let you know right now if I could take a minute. No. Could you imagine if I turned this into that? I was like,
it would be very funny. I would love it. You grew up in Massachusetts?
Yes.
How was that? Was it predominantly Black? Was it white? I grew up in a white neighborhood, so dating for me was, I think, a little tough. I don't know if it was, like, inherently said that, like, maybe parents didn't want their kids to be with a Black girl, but, like, I was truly, in high school, never close to ever being in a relationship. Was it the same or was it different for you?
No, it was the same for me. I grew up in, yes, the same, predominantly white area. You know, Boston historically, I think, is fairly well known for being like quite a segregated northern city. Mm-hmm. And that was true in my experience as well. I'm not in those households and in those rooms with those parents speaking to their children when it comes to like the birds and the bees and whether it was mm-hmm. like overtly stated, like, don't do this. What I do know is I know that the feedback I was getting in terms of like what is beauty and what is beautiful was very clear, whether that was like intentionally meant to exclude me from that category or if it was just due to the gaze that was historic, was appreciated. Mm-hmm. I had the very clear understanding that the idea of beauty from people's mouth was blonde hair, blue eyes, brown hair, brown, you know, hazel eyes, mm-hmm. green eyes, something like this. And for me, I interpreted that to mean, well, then the opposite of that must not be beautiful to you because mm-hmm. I have the direct opposite color of that. And therefore, I will never be blonde. You know what I mean? Well, mm-hmm. today's day and age, yes, I could be. God bless.
Slap on a wig, but not naturally.
Yeah, like, exactly. But like, we all love an install, but like, you know, like not naturally, exactly. And so I think it was totally apparent why then like my dating wasn't happening. And not just for me, but for my, you know, both my sisters as well. You know, I'm one of five. I have two brothers and two sisters. And my brothers dated, which I think speaks also to culture.
Sure does.
Right. But neither of my sisters and both of my sisters, I'm clear. Forget about how I interpreted it. I was clear, mm-hmm. are beautiful. Like they're gorgeous girls. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
not neither one.
That's always so interesting to me that Black men tend to have a better time than Black women dating. Like I remember growing up, my mom used to tell me to tuck my butt so my butt wouldn't seem as big. So like just to like fit in more. And as I like I grew up and then I was like, wait, big butts are in now. But even if they weren't in, I'm like so proud of my body now. And it did take a while to get there. But, you know, she's here and she's happy.
It just. Yeah. And that was true. Like not even just to single out my sisters. Like now I'm even thinking about it. And I'm like, that was true for like all the women of color for the most part, not like categorically. Yes, there was like one or two like girls of color, brown girls, you know, who dated, but like Asian girls, brown girl, Indian girl, mm-hmm. like Latin girls, biracial, you know, like it didn't matter the hue and the range, like within our community, the town, mm-hmm. we're not dating. Like, so, you know, you do the math, however you want to do it. You know what I mean? The math wasn't mathing.
The math was not mathing. Real quick, we got to take a break. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake.
The right to control your body and get the healthcare everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves healthcare. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can, like, order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho! Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can I ask you, so your mom passed away in 2020 and you did a show called In Treatment and you said that that helped you process your grief. I find that really therapeutic that like a job could help you process things. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about it. You know, the show starts with a woman who has just lost a parent and had lost her mother, who she was more close to, you know, growing up, but still has to go to work every day and perform at her job, you know, professionally. And we laid my mother to rest the day before I had to fly to California to start work on In Treatment. So I was like rubbing right up against, and God bless that entire production. Thank God. I mean, HBO and our producers on that show, I will forever be grateful to them, because we were supposed to start earlier, but they paused and waited to, you know, like, when you are ready, we are ready. And it was a place to busy myself. It was a place to hear other people, though fictional, their pain, and to concentrate on someone else's other than my own. It was an exercise in figuring out how to go out into the world and know you have just had like the biggest heartbreak of your life, but know that you got to kind of like find somewhere or something to do with it while you're still having to like manage and exist in the world at your job. And it gave me a place to like, I remember when I would be working and we'd have these moments where my character Brooke, she would have these like big emotions just come out. It gave me somewhere to put those big emotions that I was already myself feeling in light of my mother's, you know, recent passing, because if I went home to feel it, there was like, it was like a faucet I couldn't turn off, you know, but it gave me a place to just be able to put those feelings and get them out and then come back
you know, and be able to be a human, a wife, a sister,
mm-hmm.
an aunt, you know, all of these things, somewhat more effectively.
Feels very cosmic to get that role when something like that happens. I was on a show called Grand Crew. It got canceled. But I played a woman who lost her mother but still had her father. And both of my parents have, they did.
I'm sorry.
But the storyline was, no, it's fine. You got to figure out how to get through trauma. But the storyline was me and my brother, our dad, started dating this new woman. So we tried to sabotage the relationship. And for me, that was super therapeutic because I was like, if my dad had started dating another woman while he was living, I would absolutely do that. So it was like kind of fun to play that. And it was just fun to play with someone who actually kind of resembled my dad in tone and in looks. And that felt good. It felt because my mom died when I was 16. My dad died when I was 21. So it is trauma that I've like worked through. I've worked so hard in therapy to just like be okay with it. And then getting to play that part felt like another step, another layer of being okay with it. So yeah, I fully identify with getting a part and getting to put emotions that you have just in you on the screen for other people to either identify with or enjoy or be like, that's how I fucking feel. I truly do think acting and television and stuff is magic. And I love getting to do it. Do you feel the same way, that it's magical?
Oh, yes, 1,000%. I mean, it's the closest thing. I mean, humans can't fly outside of a plane, but like, it's how I imagine that feeling mm-hmm. to be. Like, it's just like the freedom and the absolute escape and like the rush of wind that I feel like when I mm-hmm. do it, I can't get enough of it. And I love everything about it. Even the heart.
Same.
I love everything about it. It has helped grow me in ways that I never imagined. It has helped me, you know, even painkiller, you know, I do know, you know, being what it is to be a parentless child. My father passed away right before I started work on that show. And, you know, just being able to have, again, another place to just sort of like escape to and mm-hmm. sort of, it's not, you know, obviously the show, this premise of the show does not have anything to do with his passing, but somewhere to sort of go and mm-hmm. and to exist and feel. I am so grateful for art and its power and its magic for that.
That's so interesting that happened twice, that you had jobs with both of their deaths. Mine is the same. I was in a play in high school when my mother died. So it was like therapeutic to be like, oh, I don't have to be me for these hours. And then when my dad died, I was in an improv class. So again, I was like, oh, I don't have to be me for these hours. I can like be an elephant that's, you know, flying with Batman or whatever. But yeah, like art is so powerful and so wonderful. I do want to talk about Painkiller. I haven't seen it yet because we're recording, I think, before it's dropped. But I watched the trailer and it looks good. It is such a fucked up premise, though. It's the Sackler family who introduced opioids into the zeitgeist, and they were like, prescribe more. And the take on it, I think, is it's like serious, but also not sensationalized. Matthew Broderick, I feel like, is playing such a big, big, big character who's like flashy, but also fucking evil. And and your part in it, I think, is so like, it felt intense. Was it intense to shoot?
It was intense, but Matthew does such a, Matthew's such a phenomenal actor. I love him so much, and I've been a fan of his forever. He does such a mm-hmm. great job of like embodying this huge family name that we all have come to identify with, OxyContin, but also like, he is literally, quite literally, like the face of Purdue Pharma, like in that show, and is able mm-hmm. to like hold that space in such a, I think, really genius and like slippery way. You know, he just makes, because that's what that is, you know, like when the insidious nature of this particular corruption and abuse of itself. He was just so fantastic in his portrayal. It was so intense because it's like I learned a lot walking up to the show. I did not know a lot about OxyContin going into. I knew what neighborhoods and regions that it had ravaged from a news cycle level, but I had no idea the numbers, the strategy, the deliberate nature and real precision that was used to introduce this country to that drug. I really had no idea how intentional it was. And to learn that going in and throughout the process was overwhelming because and a lot to carry because it was really watching what it means to be preyed upon. There are so many different ways to prey on the human spirit. And the idea that people would take not only our most economically vulnerable, but also people who are in their most physically vulnerable place in their life, take advantage of that and exploit that in such an obscene way was just tragic to learn.
Yeah, it's real fucked up. It's to like give something to someone that's highly addictive with no way of getting off of it or no explanation. I dislocated my ankle December of 2020, and I'll never forget. My doctor was like, take the painkillers for a week. And then after a week, only take them to sleep at night. Do not take them during the day. And then I was like, well, what if I'm in pain? He's like, you have a rod. You have nails in your ankle. Of course you're going to be in pain. Just live in the discomfort because you don't want to keep taking them. And he's like, and I'm not prescribing you anymore. So, and then I remember one morning I woke up and I was like, oh, I got to take my pills. And I was like, oh, that's what he's talking about. That's exactly what you just become a person. Like, you're like, I want to take them so I can get through my day. But then I was like, oh, I'm going to be in pain. And that's what I had to keep just thinking. And I was like, this is insane that we just prescribe this to people and then keep prescribing it. And I do understand that some people do have chronic pain and do need to be on it, but it is for injuries. There was no game plan besides him being like, just don't take them after a week. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally. And I mean, and that's even like crazy about like, yeah, like the education behind it. You're like realizing and learning it's like, the only group, like I think I'm paraphrasing this probably somewhat poorly. It's like, but it was like determined in their, you know, like studies and research. It's like for people who are like terminal, like that's who this should be ongoing for. You know, that's the level of pain of people who should be using it. It's like people who are not going to live to see the next year. You know what I mean? Like that's who should be getting it religiously, not for people who like twisted their ankle, you know what I mean, or whatever, you know what I mean, or getting their wisdom teeth taken out, you know, like, which is how I was first introduced to it. You know, the one and only time I've ever taken it was I had my wisdom teeth pulled and was prescribed to me. And I was on the phone with my mom and she was asking me, like, I think I must have said to her, like, they gave me pain medicine. And she asked me and I told her and I was like, OxyContin, blah, 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 whatever else. And my mom, my parents were from Nigeria, are from Nigeria. And she was like, only take it tonight. And after that, flush it down the toilet. She wanted me to flush them, girl. And I was like, hey, mom, you know, whatever. And like the next day she called and she was like, how are you feeling? I was like, I'm feeling good. She's like, did you flush that medication? I was like, she was real focused on the flushing. I was like, no, I haven't yet. And she was like, make sure you flush that thing. You know, but don't throw it. Yeah. Like she was like, she could see me like fishing through the trash for, you know, and she was like, make sure you flush that thing. And I was like, all right. And I did because I was like, I don't know, you know, whatever. She's watched.
She watched a lot of nightly news, clearly. Working on something as intense as that, what do you do to like shake it off? Like, what do you do when you go home to be like, let me get all this shit out of my head.
You know, we were up in Toronto when we were filming that, and we did a lot of like dinners out. There was a park near where I lived, and I would go and sit in the park. Like, this is when the weather was warmer. I'd go and sit in the park a lot. I also would watch this raccoon family a lot in the back of the house.
That was the least expected thing that I thought you would say. I watched this raccoon family.
That was like in my backyard. Because when I first moved in, they were like so like intense, like about like locking the doors and like making sure the lock was on, not just closed. They're like, because those raccoons get in this. And I was like terrified of like raccoons coming in. But then, and like I like saw them one day, like this family, and I was like, holy shit, like these raccoons are really, really close. Like,
they're really trying to get in here.
Yeah, exactly. Like one day they like were on the deck, like at the door, like paws up on the glass, like trying to figure it out. And I was like, must lock these doors. But yeah, I would like watch them in the backyard and be like, what are they going to do today?
I love that. Does your husband travel with you for work, or do you operate long distance? How do you deal with that?
We do both. We do a bit of both. Like, he doesn't come and stay like for the duration because he has his own life. But we both go back and forth. Like, we figure out, you know, what's the schedule, either the shoot schedule or, you know, done place to, you know, what's the rehearsal schedule, and accommodate both. Like, he'll usually come for like two long stretches, you know, and then like I'll go back in the interim for like longer weekends.
And he's also in the industry as well, right?
Yes. He's a filmmaker.
Have you collaborated?
We have not collaborated yet. I mean, we collaborate in that, like, he helps me learn my lines and my parts and works on, you know, things like that for me. It helps me prepare. I've read his materials and looked at storyboards and things like this, or like before he's, you know, first pass edits. He did a music video last year, and like I was like looking at that, you know, like see before he did his final edit to be like, what do you think about the color correction, you know, things like that. So that's the most we've done. But who knows
what the future will hold. Uzo, thank you so much for doing this. We've come to the end. And okay, I ask all of my guests this. It's theoretical, but would you date me?
Yes, of course.
Oh,
why not?
Thank you. Ah, what a dream.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sometimes people go, no, and my feelings are what? Hurt.
No. You're a cash.
Thank you. Uzo, do you have anything that you want to promote?
Painkiller, which is out now. Yeah, everybody take a look. Check it out on Netflix.
I honestly can't wait to watch it. The trailer looks so good. If you liked this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, you could rate it, you can subscribe on like Apple Podcasts or whatever. And if you write me something dirty hitting on me to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com, I will read it. This person said, dear Nicole, have you ever had a pearl dragon before? I haven't. It happened to me once when I was about to swallow, then I sneezed and cum shot out of both my nostrils. I want that for you. Oh, why? I'm going to throw fuck you until I'm just edging, then toss a dash of pepper in the air to make you sneeze as I finish, and wham, cum will start gushing out of your nose. It'll burn a little, but oddly, you'll like it, Uzo's face. And then I'll drag my balls across your cum-covered face, turning them into little pearls. You'll say, what a treat, what a dream. Welcome to your new kink. Love you. Bye.
Had you heard of that prior to reading that email?
Not at all. No, I don't know. I've never heard of that. That was a good one. Thank you so much. Uzo, thank you.
Learned something new today.
Okay, bye-bye.
Why Won't You Date Me? With Nicole Byer is produced by me, Mars. It's executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, with talent bookings by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Maddie Ogden. Got a question, crazy dating story, or a dirty message for Nicole? Write it to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com for a chance to have it featured on a future show.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode. Bye-bye.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.